All right, Rabosei, good morning, good morning. Let us begin, Baruch Hashem, an incredible, beautiful, wonderful, holy, and uplifting day of Daf ahead of us. Mir Hashem, begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Nisan, Haba Aleinu Latova, Seir and Simehekin, to show their Akaras HaTov to Hashem for all of his Nisim and Niflaos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeem all of our hostages and bring complete Hatzlacha to Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. Amen. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollock, in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel Ben Zachariah, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Dov, who are both Nifter on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshama Slav and Aliyah, the family in Nechama, and Halavai Meretz Hashem, our hostages should come home B'Shalom and B'Karov, and our soldiers should be successful B'Chol Ma'asei Yedehem. Well, so with that, let us begin. A lot to do today. Baruch Hashem, today's daf is Mem Beis 42. And we are picking up Meretz Hashem on Mem Aleph Amud Beis 41b. 41b. And we are picking up Ulaman Da'amar Shlichos Yatzuich HaChisar. So it is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the daf. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, remember we left off yesterday with we spent the bulk of yesterday on an incredibly dramatic machlokes. The machlokes as to whether or not Shlichos Yad Tzuich HaChisaron, when you misappropriate, when a shomer goes ahead and watches over an item and then intends to misappropriate it. I think the terminology we used for yesterday was, does misappropriation require diminution or not? In other words, in order to be chayav for shlichos yad, do you actually have to use up some of the item, or just is simply taking the item and being ready to misappropriate it, is that enough to create liability? So that was our machlokas. So the Gemara was, remember again, we're speaking about the fact that shlichos yad itself is mentioned 3 times. Once by Shomer Chinom, once by Shomer Sachar, and once by Shoal. So now the Gemara says, to close out the sugya, Uleman damer shlichos yad tzvichal chisaron, and according to the opinion that holds, that in order to be chai for shlichos yad, you mamish have to diminish the item. Hani tarti, shlichos yad lamali. So why do I need shlichos yad to be mentioned, both by Shomer Sachar and by Shomer Chinom? To which the Gemara says, number one, chadosh lo tomer dayo lava min adin lios kinidon. So first of all, number one, in order not to apply dayo, suppose that this really is, again, from we saw this in yesterday's daf, otherwise you would have thought that halacha l'maisa, perhaps shomer chinam, shomer sachar, should be capped. That's what dayo does. Dayo caps things, and they should make it like shoel, that was you saw yesterday. V'idach l'chidisanya. The other mention is to teach us the following halacha. V'nikra balabayis el elokim l'shvua. So the pasuk says the balabayis will come, bringing the shomer to din, that requires the shomer ultimately to go ahead and take a shvuah. So the Gemara says, "Ata omer l'shvuah o eino ela l'din." How do you know that it means shvuah? Maybe it means l'din. I will say, take a quick look at Rashi. See Rashi l'shvuah. Rashi says it's about 12 lines over the bottom. L'shvuah. So the Gemara says, "Vehechi kamar." Vehechi kamar. Im lo yimase kama sha'amar shenignava. Elohud Nignava. So we'll say, so remember again, this is talking about a Shomer Chinam that lies, right? He says that the object was stolen, but in fact it turns out that he stole it himself. So the Lashon of the Pasuk is V'nikrava Balabais Elohim, which is Lashon of Shavua. So watch this. So you might have thought, V'hu kvar nikrav Eladayron l'Shavua, V'nishpa l'Shakev, V'achar kach bo Eidim Asher Yishonon Den Yishalim Kefal. So remember again, we'll say, this is the unique halacha. We referenced this again yesterday, which is that if you have a Shomer Chinam, Shomer Chinam claims that the object was stolen. Then remember again, what's the halacha by Shomer Chinam? By Nignava Avdo, what's the halacha? He's Pater. Let's say it turns out, however, and he swears to that effect that it was stolen. Then what happens? It turns out that he himself stole it. What's the halacha? He pays kefal. So listen to this. This is what the Gemara says. You might have thought, right? V'nikar Balabai Salah came back to Gemara. The Shavua. The only time that a Shomer Chinam is chayiv kefal if he went ahead and stole the object is when, if he swore to that effect, ata omer l'shvua eino elo l'din, maybe not. Who's to say he requires a shvua? Maybe halacha l'maisa, it's enough even if he never took a shvua, but rather, he made this claim in Beis Din, and then witnesses showed up in Beis Din to discredit the claim. Maybe that should make him chayiv and kefal. I'll look at Rashi for just a moment. So the Gemara says, ata omer kreva l'shvua, O ena ala kreva ledin, shemisha shetan bebeis de nignava In other words, how do you know? How do you know that the Shomer Chilim is Chayiv Kefil if witnesses show up after he swore? Maybe even if he didn't swear, but witnesses showed up and discredit his claim. Maybe Halacha Lemaisa is going to be Chayiv in that case as well. To which the Gemara says, "Nemra Shlichos Yad Lamato, v'ne'amar Shlichos Yad Lamalo." So we'll say it says ultimately again Shlichos Yad in both of these situations. So the Gemara says, just like in the previous context, means shvua. So too over here by Shomer Chinam, ultimately it means shvua as well, and it teaches me that a Shomer Chinam who said that the object was stolen, swore to that effect, and then it turns out that he himself stole it, would be chayiv kefil only if he swore and was then discredited by witnesses. Good. We'll say that brings to an end this sugya. So how do we paskin? We'll say this is big stuff. Does shlichos yad require chisaron or not? Does misappropriation require diminution or not? So we'll say here it is. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila Va'aveda, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph says as follows. Hashaleach yad bepikadon. If a shomer goes ahead and literal lashon is stretches out his hands by a pikadon, misappropriation. So what's going to skip a little bit? He says, "Zinasis harizeh gazlon v'nischai banasav." So we'll say once the shaliach goes ahead and misappropriates the item, he is a thief. Now we'll say, so remember we spoke about this yesterday. What's the difference between shlichos yad and gezel? Gezel means it's my intention. I'm the shomer. It's my intention from the beginning. I'm taking this for myself. What's shlichos yad? Let's take a little bit. Right? There's a barrel of wine. I don't plan on stealing the barrel of wine. That would be terrible. What am I going to do? I'm going to take a glass or two or five, right? But I'm literally skimming a little bit off the top, but I'm not stealing it for myself. The Rambam says, that's nice. That's a wonderful rationalization. Shlichos yad is gezel. Shlichos yad is theft. And therefore, again, the moment that your intention is to misappropriate in any way is the moment that you are a gazlan, a thief. They will say, Chashav l'shlech abi b'kador in chabach yusash l'shechad. However, let's say intention to misappropriate is not theft. Sort of which we knew already beforehand, right? I see the barrel. I'd say, okay, hinli muchan amuzuman. I am going to go ahead and take wine from that barrel for myself, but I didn't do anything yet. So intention to misappropriate is not misappropriation. Here we go. Umishashalach yad nischayev bo, afa pi shalo chasar mimenu klum, ela notal ha pikadon mimakom lamakom bershuso, k'dei l'shloach po yad, hare ze chayiv. Sheshlichos yad eino tzricha chisaron. So we'll say, the Rambam paskins, that halacha lemaisa, as soon as you pick up that barrel, with the intention to go ahead and use some of it for yourself, even if what? You haven't actually used anything for yourself, that is called shlichos yad, and you are chayiv like a thief. Why? Because shlichos yad does not require chisaron, does not require diminution. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting and nuanced halacha. So on one hand, shlichos yad misappropriation does not require diminution. On the other hand, you need an action. It's not called shlichos yad if you don't do something, right? So in other words, just thinking you're going to misappropriate does not go ahead and make you chayiv. So on one hand, you don't have to diminish the object, but you have to do something. What's an example of doing something? Lifting up the barrel of wine, moving it from this corner into that corner with the intention that this is where I'm going to siphon off the wine from it. So the act of moving it. So again, cognition is not enough to make you chayiv for misappropriation. On the other hand, you don't need diminution for misappropriation, but you do need a maisa. You do need an action. So we'll say, so bottom line, the Rama Paskins, shlichos yad, ina tzricha chisaron. Beautiful. Let's go weiter. We'll say, great sugya ahead of us today. Says the Mishnah, hamafkin maos etzo chavero. 42b. So we'll say, here we go. I deposit money with my friend. So again, I'm giving him money to watch over it. What's the halacha? So tzara and veivshin lachar. So we'll say, see now, we are focusing on the shaliach. I gave Reuven money to watch for me. Reuven took the money. He went ahead and he wrapped it up. Veivshin lachorav, and he slung it over his back. Flung it over his back. Oh, shemasram libno ulibitu aktanim, or he gave it over to his children, his minor children, right? These young children. V'na'al b'feim shelo karai. And I will say, he did not put in place the proper measures to guard those children. So in other words, he went ahead and he gave it to his kids, but he did not go ahead and set up the proper measures to watch over the kids. So what's talacha? And I will say, obviously, something happened to the money. What's talacha? Chayiv, shiloshimer kederach hashomim. Reuven is chayiv. Why? Because he did not watch the money in accordance with the normal manner of shomrim. Okay? I would say, so that's two cases there. Number one, taking the money, slinging it over my back. That's number one. And number two, giving it to Reuven, giving it to his kids without watching the kids properly. Good. Chayiv for anything happens to the money. So this is actually a general halacha. However, if I deposited money with Reuven, and Reuven did what he was supposed to do, and watched the money in the appropriate way, but nevertheless, something occurred, in that case, he is Potter. Beautiful. Let's go. So Bishlam Akulu Shalo Shimer Kedach Hashomrim Elat Sarin Vev Shilan LaAchorav My Havale Lemei Avad. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. I understand the second case. Where I deposit money with Reuven. Reuven gives it over to his young kids, and he does not create the proper shmirah, the proper guarding or watching for his kids. So that's pshia. That's going to be negligence. I understand why you're chayiv. But what about the first case? I deposit the money with Reuven. Reuven wraps it up, right? Slings it over his shoulder. I don't understand. That sounds pretty good. Right? Why? What's wrong with that? What else? Well, as I will say, if you think about it, in that case, the money's on Reuven's person, right? It's on his body. What else would you like him to do? To my havile lemi avid. Amar Rava says it's incredible. Amar Rava, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, V'tzarta ha-kesef bi'adecha. They both say, so just to give you context. What's the pasuk V'tzarta ha-kesef bi'adecha? Ma'aser sheni. What's the lechem on ma'aser sheni? Ma'aser sheni is a tithe that the farmer has to go out and separate. But interestingly enough, who eats ma'aser sheni? The farmer. It's yours to consume. The only caveat is you have to do so in Yerushalayim. What happens if, halacha lemaisa, you are fortunate enough that you have too much produce to transfer from your home to Yerushalayim? What do? You transfer the sanctity. You redeem the ma'aser sheni on money. You take the money to Yerushalayim, spend the money on food. That's the pasuk. V'tzarta ha-kesef bi'adecha. So literally, you're going to say, you shall pile or really bundle the money in your hand. And the rest of the pasuk is, v'alachta ala makom ha-sheyivcha Hashem elokecha bo. And go to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, i.e. Yerushalayim. So I'll say, now watch this. So I'm saying, Rabbi, so the pasuk says, you shall bundle the money in your hand. Afa pisha tsururin yihyeh biyadecha. I'll say, apparently, there's only one way to properly guard money, and bundling it is not enough, but rather what? It has to be in your hand. So the act of slinging the money over your shoulder, that is not called proper shmirah. If you are keeping money on your person, ultimately, again, the way to do so is in your hand. That's proper shmirah. Therefore, in this case over here, because Reuven took the money, put it in a bundle, which is great, but slung it over his shoulder, that is not considered to be an active form of guarding. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, something happens to the money, Reuven is going to be chayav. We'll say a little bit of agarata. Not really agarata. But a little bit of like, some beautiful, beautiful gemara. So, Rabbi Yitzchak, the olam yehe kaspo shel adam matsui biyado. Because this is very interesting. In general, a person should always have his money available to him. So we'll say, this is incredible. This is more dispensing financial advice, telling you that you should have a high ratio of liquidity. You should make sure to have cash. Make sure to have cash available. Shene'emar, v'tzarta kesef biyadecha. Ultimately, again, because the pasuk says you should keep the money bundled in your hand. So I'll say, so if you think Rashi says over here, Matsui Biyado, second line in Rashi, Lo yifkedin alacherem b'makom acher, shim tizdamin lo schora l'schar yehe mezuman lo. So I'll say, just want to point out, Rabbi Yitzchak is literally dispensing financial advice. This is financial advice that you should have your money available in your hand. Why, says Rashi? Let's say there's a good deal. There's a good business opportunity. There's merchandise available for purchase. If your money, if all of your money is tied up, now in this case, when he speaks about tied up, he means if my money is deposited with Reuven, so Reuven's somewhere else, I'm not going to have the liquid assets to engage in a business transaction. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, keep your money liquid. This way, again, you have the ability to do business if you want to. The Gemara says, and he quotes the Pasuk of Ma'aser Sheni, v'tzarta ha-kesef biyadecha. Ultimately, again, so it's interesting, they're reading this Pasuk almost as a statement, not just for Ma'aser Sheni, but in general, have money on hand. This way, if opportunity presents itself, you are ready to go. I will say, speaking about this idea, so what is Rabbi Yitzchak saying? Rabbi Yitzchak is saying is you should always have your resources readily available. So this way, again, if you want to accomplish something, you have the ability to accomplish. So Rabbi Yitzchak is framing it in terms of money. But I will say it's important to remember, whatever applies to money also applies to all of your other, so to speak, gifts and possessions in life. All of us have incredible kochos, and all of us have incredible abilities. And the yisod in life is, keep your abilities in hand. Keep your abilities, keep your kochos ready, so that if the opportunity to go ahead and help in some way, to make a difference in this world in some way presents itself, that you're ready to spring into action. So often we go through the world, go through life, and we see opportunities to make a difference all around us. But whether we're too busy or just we're not focused, or we're just not even aware or cognizant of all of the personalistic resources we possess, we walk by these opportunities and we don't stop to make a difference. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, Li'olam yehei kaspo shel adam matzi biyado. The same way that your money, which represents your material resources, should be in your hands, that you're ready to go ahead, make a difference, transact business. I will say, keep your other life resources ready as well, ready to go. And that way, when the opportunity to make a difference in this world comes along, you are ready to spring into action. Weiter. Incredible Gemara. Li'olam yashlish adam es ma'osav. So we'll say some more financial advice. Person should diversify. Literally, again, split your money, invest your money in three different ways. Shlish bekarka, one-third real estate. Shlish beprak matya, one-third merchandise. Ushlish tachas yado. And maintain one-third of your money cash, liquid. Well, isn't it interesting? One-third real estate. So again, that's, I guess, considered to be like more like long-term investments. So you should have one-third of long-term investments, merchandise, which is much more short-term investments, and liquid capital. This way, again, if opportunity comes along, you're ready to go ahead and invest. We'll say, it's also, you see this theme, it's Rabbi Yitzchak, but you see this idea of like, at least in a financial sense, opportunity presents itself all the time. Be prepared for life opportunity. So in a financial sense, make sure you have money on hand so that if a great opportunity presents itself, you're ready to jump into that. But I will say, but it's never just about money. It's about life. It's about life. How many times in life, again, there are so many incredible opportunities that present themselves all of the time. But often, I'm just not prepared. Whatever the reason of lack of preparation may be prepared to embrace life's opportunities. Be ready to embrace life's opportunities. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. I say today is Rabbi Yitzchak's day. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein habracha, listen to this. Ein habracha mitzui el v'davar samin ha'ayin. So this is incredible, that bracha only devolves upon something that is hidden from the eye. So we'll define what this means in just a moment. Look at Rashi for just a second. So in habracha, Rashi says, Shemes barech v'rabba me'elav. Bracha, and I will say bracha in this context means there's only the ability for something to amplify and become greater. Like literally, again, we're talking about material bracha over here. It's only the ability for something to become greater and amplified. If what? Ela b'davar samin ha'ayin. Something that is hidden from the eye. So in other words, bracha, we're talking about material bracha. Material blessing devolves upon something that is not necessarily visible. We'll define it in just a moment. Shneamar, Yitzav Hashem, Itcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go ahead. Literally, again, Hashem will command with you, Es HaBracha Ba'asamecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you bracha Ba'asamecha. Now, we'll say, in this first Rasha, it's a little bit of a play on words. Ba'asamecha. Asamecha literally means in your granaries or in your silos. In this context, Samui. some way hidden. Shmuel says, so what does this mean? What does this mean? Let's one more. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel said the same thing. Bracha only devolves upon something that the eye doesn't see. Shene'emar, Yitzav Hashem itcha es habracha ba'asamecha. So in this case, Rabbi Shmuel says the same drasha. They're just arriving at it different ways. Rabbi Yitzchak is making a play on words. Ba'asamecha, samoy, hidden from the eye. Debe Rabbi Yishmael asamecha, the silo. The silo is normally something that is hidden away, and therefore you can't see it. We'll say now, what does this mean? So I remember I had a Rebbe who said something very interesting. I don't know that it's actually good advice, but it's something interesting to contemplate. He said, you should never balance your checkbook. This is back in the days when people balanced checkbooks, right? You should never balance your checkbook exactly. Never know to the dollar how much money you have, right? Why? Because if you know to the exact dollar, you don't leave any room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do any miracles. Now, again, like I said, I want to be clear, right? We are not dispensing financial advice, right? I don't know that it's actually a good financial idea. But what was the Yisod? The Yisod is like this. The Ribono Shel Olam orchestrates miracles every single day. Sometimes in life, you have to leave room for the Ribono Shel Olam to do his thing. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do his thing? So we'll say, so remember again, more often than not, we're not going to see open, overt, and dramatic miracles. More often than not, what's going to happen in life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu working his miracles in Teva, in the natural order of the world, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu working his miracles in the natural order of everyday life. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak and that's what Rabbi Shmuel are highlighting. Where does bracha come about? Bracha comes about in ways or in things that you don't see. And you don't see. So therefore, again, if you go ahead, and we're going to see this theme continued over and over, if you're too exacting, right? See, I was saying, when a person, and this is actually very interesting in general, when a person micromanages all of the details, so the trait of a micromanager is he thinks that he is in charge of everything. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, if you're a micromanager, bepashtos, you're not leaving any room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to navigate. But if a person puts in their hishtadlus, puts in their effort, and then you know what? Leaves over a little bit of, we'll call it ambiguity, or the unknown, HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in the ambiguity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in the unknown. Leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit of room in your life to be able to go ahead and perform nisim v'nifalos. You know what I'm saying? Rabbi Soloveitchik comments and he says that if you look, again, not a topic for today, but it fits into the ambiguity. Almost every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in the Torah, there's always an anan. There's always a cloud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in the clouds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in the fog. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in the ambiguity. So therefore the Gemara says, bracha only comes about this thing that is hidden from the eye. Bracha only comes about in something that the eye doesn't see. Leave room in your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to work out all the nisim and the falsehood. And I will say, by the way, if one could adopt this mindset, it is the most beautiful and liberating thing. Because often as we get older and we become more responsible, so we understand responsibility as I have to work out every single last detail. Right? How are we doing this? How are we doing that? Right? How are we working out every single thing? And I will say, what happens when you try to work out every single detail? What happens? It is the most frustrating and anxiety-provoking thing. Why? Because you can't work out every single detail. You can't. So you have a choice. You could walk around life and you see people like this. Like you see them and you look at them and you're like, oh, either like they're constipated or they're living with an incredible amount of stress, right? And usually it's the latter. And those are the people like, gotta work out everything, gotta figure out everything. And if I can't concentrate, I can't enjoy life. And they walk around that and they're impossible to be around. And they dump on you and they dump on this and they dump. I feel like I'm venting a little bit over here, right? But again, or what you say is like this, you know what? I'm going to do my best. I'm going to put in my hishtadlus. You can't sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. You got to put an effort in this world. But then I'm going to do my part, recognizing I can't figure out everything. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. In that area, in that space where I say, I've done my part, but I can't control all of these details. Or at least right now, I can't figure out all these details. I'm giving this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's miraculous intervention begins. That's where it begins. Where I say, I can't figure the rest out. When I get up to the cloud, in the ambiguity, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins. But you got to leave room for that, Rose, because if you try to be the micromanager and work out every single thing, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be anxiety, right? You're going to be anxiety laden. You're going to be overwhelmed and unhappy in life. Stop, do what you can, and then leave the rest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means when it says, the bracha of the Ribon Shalom, where does it come about? Comes about in that which is hidden from the eyes, in that which you can't see. Incredible Gemara, Rose. Turn our button on. HaHolech Lamar. Rose, this is a life Gemara. This is a what we just learned is a life Gemara. Internalize this lesson. I'm about to say, you have to be clear because sometimes people make the mistake and then they take like a laissez-faire approach to life. That's very bad. That's very bad. If you take laissez-faire approach to chinuch of your children, to the building of your marriage, to your finances, that's a debacle. So there is this fine line between being hands off and micromanaging. And in that space, that's where you do your thing and you leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu room to do his. Tan Rabbanan. HaHolech Lamud Es Gronon. Bosei is great Gemara. By the way, Bosei, this Gemara that we're about to read is actually codified in Shulchan Aruch. This is fascinating. HaHolech Lamud Es Gronon. Right? Go Rono. If a person goes in to measure their silos, right? I'm a farmer. I have a silo. I'm going in to measure my produce. So Omer, he says a tefillah. Yiratzam lofanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetishlach bracha b'maasei yadeinu. It's incredible. So Bosei, so again, I'm walking into my silo. I haven't done anything yet. So what do I say? It should be your will to send bracha in my grain. Now we'll say, now why could I say that? Why could I say that tefillah? Why? I don't know yet how much I have. So because I don't know what the balance is, right? I don't know what the bank account is. I don't know how much I have in the silo. I have no idea how much is here. So therefore, I understand you don't do overt miracles. You don't do supernatural miracles. I got it. But you know what you can do? You could magnify or amplify the volume of my wheat, the amount of my wheat. I'll never know the difference. I haven't counted anything yet. And before I count, that's the world of ambiguity. In the world of ambiguity, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu works wonders. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it rain. Make it rain. Go ahead and give me bracha. Good. Hischil lamud. I begin to go ahead and literally count. Lamud literally means to measure. Right? So I begin to measure my grain. Omer, Baruch HaShaleach Bracha B'Kriyaza. I say, blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has sent blessing in this, literally in this pile. Now again, I will say, remember, because once I start counting, so then again, I can't ask for divine intervention with this, because once you start to count, it's a reality. Once it's a reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't intervene in the world, so to speak, in that way. But what I do say is, thank you, Hashem, for sending bracha in this pile. I will say, I just want to point out something absolutely amazing. So the Kri, remember, the way it works with grain, we see this. We saw this actually in our Hilchos Shabbos Chabura. So remember, the way it would work is, you have piles of grain, right? And you count out the grain in piles, and then you put everything back into the silo. It's so profound that as you're counting the grain, what do you say? Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the bracha in this grain. You're saying this before you know the total amount of grain. Because the major yisod in life is to find happiness in what you have, even if you don't have as much as you would like. So as you're counting out the grain, you say, Ribono Shel Olam, thank you for this pile. Thank you. Do I have too much? Do I have enough? Do I have more than the neighbor? Less than the neighbor? As much as I wanted to make? I don't know. But I know that this is the pile that I have, and I need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that I have. Gratitude is not relative. Sometimes we'll say we make our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu relative. If I have enough, according to me, what is enough? Then I have gratitude. Or if I have more, then I have gratitude. It's not how gratitude works. Gratitude is not relative. Gratitude, ultimately, again, is objective. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for this pile of grain. While I'm doing it, I don't even know the total yet. But while I'm doing it, I take the opportunity to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what I have in life. Madad v'achakach beirach. What happens if you first finish measuring and then you made the bracha? So harei zeh tefilas shav. So I'll say, so this is a prayer in vain. Right? In other words, meaning what? If you already counted the grain and you know how much you have, you can't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please send bracha in this grain. That you can't do, because that's not how the world works. Why? Here we go. Because we'll say bracha is not found in something that is measured, or something that is, or weighed, measured, for lo b'davra hamani, or something that is counted, elo b'davra samoy min ha'ayin. Bracha is only found in something that is hidden from the eye, shine emar, yitzav Hashem itcha es ha'bracha ba'asamecha. So I will say, so that's it. In other words, it's incredible. So when I go into the granary, before I've done anything, I can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, work your magic. Work your magic. Give me bracha. And what I'm asking for is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it even greater than what it is now. And before I know anything, when I'm still in the world of ambiguity, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can navigate tremendously. But once I know the amount, right? Once I know the balance, you know, say if you know the balance on the checking account or on the savings account, you can't expect tomorrow morning to open up your Bank of America app and say, wow, that's incredible. There's another $1,000 in here. Who knew? It's not the way the world works. It's not the way the world works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in the ambiguity. So if you put in your hishtaglus and ultimately leave him room to navigate, that's where bracha comes from. But again, once I know, once I'm micromanaging, once it's exact, once I know what there is, then ultimately, again, that's not where the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. That being said, person has to exhibit and live an attitude of gratitude for every single pile that they have in life. Gratitude is not subjective. Incredible, you might as well say. Incredible. There's so much more to say about it. But again, we'll have to leave it in Meretz Hashem for the siyum. Let's go back to Amar Shmuel. All right, we'll say back to halacha. Amar Shmuel, k'safim einlem shmira el bekarka. Shmuel says the only way to guard money, in other words, if somebody deposited money with you, so the way to properly guard and safeguard that money is in karka. Is we'll say ultimately again to bury it. You have to bury money in order to make it safe. Amar Rava, which I will say, by the way, makes sense. It's almost like a little bit of a corollary. What we saw before, Rabbi Yitzchak said, if you're going to have money, what do you need? You have to have it in your hand. You have to have it in your hand. So that's really not shaykh for a shomer to go out and carry around the money in his hand all the time. So what can you do? You could bury money. Bury it. So Rashi points out over here, Ein lem shmira de'im lo shamran v'ganva pshiyehi. I will say, understand the ramification of a statement like that. When you say that the only way to guard money is to bury it, that means what? That means what? That if you don't bury it, you're what? You're negligent. You're a posheya, and that's pshia. And if something happens to the money, you will be chayiv. Okay? Amar Rava, umodi Shmuel be'erev Shabbos ben hashmashos, t'lo atrechuhu rabbanon. So this is very interesting. So, however, as much as Shmuel said this, so comes along Rava and says, Shmuel agrees, if somebody shows up at your house on Friday afternoon and deposits money with you, that you don't have to bury it on Monday, on Friday afternoon. Right? In other words, if it's right before Shabbos, so again, you could keep it in your house or put it somewhere safe until Matzei Shabbos, then you could bury it. However, again, if on Matzei Shabbos, you had enough time to bury it, but you didn't bury it, at that point, let's say for argument's sake, it takes 30 minutes to bury money. So after Shabbos, you have 30 minutes to get that money buried. If you don't go ahead and do that within the 30-minute window, at that point in time, now you're a poshea. Now you're negligent. Suppose an incredible qualification to this Gemara, Vitzur Mirabanan, but if the person depositing money with you is a Talmud Chacham, Savar Dilma Miboy Lezuzi La'avdalta. So you can leave the money unburied for a little bit longer. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham is makbid to make havdalah on a cup of wine, not just to go ahead and make havdalah in davening. So therefore, there's not a concern, but you have to think about maybe he's going to come back right after Shabbos, reclaim his money in order to buy wine for havdalah. So we'll say there's a whole marav show over here. I don't understand. Everybody should be careful to make havdalah over a cup of wine. So why dafka tamidi chachamim were a little bit more makbid with it? Okay, the simple answer is havdalah is one of those things where technically speaking, you are yotzi with the havdalah that you have made in Shmona Esrei. That does take care of your obligation. So because of that, it must have been common for many regular people not to go out of the way to make havdalah on a cup of wine. Tamidi chachamim dafka makbid for this. So therefore, we'll say if I have money, so therefore just to play this out, Talmud Chacham comes and deposits money with me on Erev Shabbos. So the halacha is, you have to bury money to watch it. Erev Shabbos, Chazal didn't wear it matriach you. But Matzei Shabbos, you have to as soon as you have time. And if you wait too long, then you're negligent. However, if the person depositing money with me is a Talmud Chacham, then I can leave it unburied for a little bit longer on Matzei Shabbos, out of maybe not a concern, but just being vigilant, maybe he's going to want the money back for Havdalah. So I will say, I think in this phrase also, it's such a profound statement. The Tzermir Abanef, the person depositing money with me, Savar, so I can leave it unburied. Why? Because maybe he's going to use his money. Mibarile Zuze La'avdalta. La'avdalta. Now we translate Avdalta as Havdalah. I will say, but I think that there's another embedded message in this, which is, I will say, what does a Talmud Chacham do with his money? What does a Talmud Chacham do with his money? He makes Havdalah. I will say, what's Havdalah? To be Mavdil literally means to make a difference or a distinction. What does a Talmud Chacham do with his resources? He recognizes that his resources in this world are for the purpose of making a difference in this world. I will say, if a person has money, a person has money, a person has material wealth, and wealth, however you're defining wealth, we'll say there is one mandate that a person has with that wealth. Make a difference. Make a difference. Money is powerful because money affects change. Money, not the only thing that affects change, but if a person has zuzim, a person has money, zuzim are there for only one reason. La'avdalta. To make a difference. It can be to make a difference for your family. It can make a difference for your community. To make a difference to Klal Yisrael. But one thing is clear. That the whole chah of material wealth is to make a difference. And I will say, whatever applies to material wealth applies to every other resource that you have as well. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the kochos he gave us? Well, see, just think about this in just a moment. Each and every one of us has various skill sets. Each and every one of us has abilities. Why? Why? For one reason. La'avdalta. La'avdalta. Avdalta means to make a distinction, or better stated, to make a difference. Let's say we are all here in this world to make a difference in this world. We are not meant to be spectators. We are not meant just to show up and observe. We are meant to make Havdalah, to make a distinction, to make a difference in this world every single day. The Gemara phrases it over here as that's the Talmud Chacham. But the truth is, the great secret is, not such a secret, is that it's not just the Talmud Chacham. Every single one of us have that same sacred mandate to use our money and to use all of our resources to make a difference in this world. Let's go back to Va'inna, the Shrichi Geshushi. I, the Gemara, will say, so now there are a lot of Geshushim. See, like, oh, you're like, what are Geshushim? Geshushim are people who take like poles and prod them into the ground. Because also, listen to this. Now that we learned Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Beis and Aleph, I know that where do people hide money? Right, in the ground. So therefore, the Geshushim are the guys who walk around with poles, right, looking to see if they hit something hard, and they know that they got money. So stop hiding money in the ground, hide money in the ceiling. Okay. Va'ina the Shrichi Perumai. Abinadat are Perumai. Who are Perumayim? Those are the guys who also take a pole and they hit the ceiling, right, to see if they're hitting anything. Elam shmira ela beni orvi, right? The only place to hide money, to deposit money, or to really hide money, is in between the bricks on the wall. Amarava, umodo shmo bakosel. And Shmuel says, Alocha lamaisa, it doesn't even have to be necessarily between the bricks. It just means that now the safe place to deposit money is in a wall. Va'idna deshrichi tefuchai. But now there are people who poke the wall to try to find hollow spots in the wall. So we'll say, so now presently the only place secure to put money is either in the tefach, right in the wall, right by the ceiling, or the tefach in the wall, right by the floor. So we'll say, so I guess these are places that people didn't normally look, or the Marsha also points out that sometimes these areas, for whatever reason, are not as hollow. Okay. Listen to this. Incredible. What do we learn? Chametz. Wow. I would say, absolutely incredible. Beis Nisan, I would say. And already, again, we're getting in gear. Chametz, shenafa la mapoles, haru kimavar. So I would say the halacha is that if you have chametz, and let's say a pile of rubble fell upon that chametz, you don't have to move the rubble in order to go out and get that chametz and destroy it before Pesach, because chametz under rubble is like it's destroyed already. Rav Shimon Liel says, kol she'ina kelev yochel l'chapeis acharav. Rav Shimon Liel says, as long as the dog can't get to it, right? As long as the dog can't get to it, it's considered to be destroyed. The Gemara says, Tana, kama chafifa sakel. By the way, how deep does a dog dig down? How deep does a dog dig down, right? In order to go ahead and access something, gimel tfachim, three tfachim. And we asked, hachamai, mi ba'ina shosha tfachim. Hold up. So we'll say, therefore, let's apply this to our money case. So we'll say, what we're saying over here is, if the chametz is under three tefachim of rubble, you don't have to try to access it. You don't try to get in and destroy it. Why? Because a dog is not going to find it, and therefore it's considered to be destroyed. So we'll say, what about by burying money? So we're going back now to the idea of burying money in the ground. How deep do you have to bury the money? Do you have to bury it three tefachim or not? Amalei hasam ishum recha ba'ina gimel tefachim. Hacham ishum ichsuye me'ina lo ba'ina gimel tefachim. It's two different halachas. I'll say, by chametz, the reason three tefachim is because a dog could scent, it could smell something. So therefore, at a distance of three tefachim, he's not going to pick up the scent, and therefore he's not going to dig down to get it. That's by chametz. Over here, when it comes to money, again, I will say, it's not a din in scent. What is it a din of? It has to be hidden from the eye. So therefore, you do not go ahead and need three tefachim of depth to bury the money. Aye, v'kama. So how deep do you have to bury the money? Amarach from Misichra, tefach, one tefach. Okay, that's what she needs. Suppose it's aloha lamaisa, when burying the money, you have to bury it one tefach into the ground. Beautiful. Hu gavra da'afki zuzi gabi chavri. Suppose, listen to this. It's a couple of really great cases now. There was a guy who deposited money with his friend. Osvinu b'tzirfa du'or bani. And what happens? Well, say he put it in a hut, literally like in a straw hut. Rashi says, "Sirfa d'ravani bayis katan agul kamin kova sha'osin tsayote ofos lerov." So Abba says, "Okay, so let's just play this out. I give money to Reuven. Reuven went ahead and he placed it. Abba say in like a hunter's hut. People, Rashi points out, people who want to catch or to trap birds or different prey, they would have these little, like if you could imagine, like a teepee almost, like a teepee type of hut, where they would just like wait for the animals to come." Now we'll say, now what's the chap of this place? So on one hand, it's semi-secure. On the other hand, small issue, read it in the fine print, they are highly flammable. Highly flammable. So the Gemara says as follows, Se'ignov, so what happened? Now this is where Reuven put it, and my money was stolen. So Amar Rav Yosef, Afagav d'le'inyan ganvei nitirusehi, le'inyan nura pshi'usehi. Now we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Even though this hut is considered to be guarded, when it comes to thieves, when it comes to theft, right? This is a legitimate way to protect against that. Theft, it is considered to be pshia, it's negligence when it comes to fire. Since this is a highly flammable structure, it's considered to be pshia. And we'll say, now remember, what happened to the money in the end? The money, right, it didn't burn down. Rather, what happened? It was stolen. So what is this? We'll say, so have tchilas pshia v'saf ba'oneis chayiv. So I'll say this is a classic case of tchilas b'pshia. It was negligent for Reuven to put the money in a highly flammable structure. At the end of the day, it didn't burn down, it was stolen. So sofa ba'ones, we'll say, what's the halacha with tchilas b'pshia of sofa ba'ones? What's the halacha? Chayev, we've seen this many times already before. Vigadami, others say, afagadla in yinura pshiu sehi. Even though regarding flammability, ultimately again, it is pshia le'inyan ganvi nitiru sehi. Ultimately, again, for theft, it is considered to be proper guarding. Therefore, tchilas v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, pater. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Tchilas v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is chayav. We'll say, so you know, that is how we paskin. If you do something that is negligent, but then in the end, some type of extenuating circumstance occurs, so the shomer is chayiv since he was negligent at the outset. Therefore, halacha l'maisa in this case, where I deposited money with Reuven, Reuven put it in this tent, in this structure, which is highly flammable, that's tchilas v'pshia. It was stolen in the end, and that's an onis, because it is a secure area. That's an onis. It doesn't matter. Tchilas v'pshia, sofa ba'onis. This chayiv Reuven is going to have to pay me back the money. Incredible. Ho gavra, da'afkid zuzei gabe chavrei. So it was a great case over here. So what happened? I give money to Reuven to watch. Okay. What did Reuven do? Ashlaminu li'ime v'osvinu b'kartalisa. Reuven gave it to his mother to watch. Yeah, he's one of those, right? Right. Reuven gave it to his mother to watch, right? Just, mamish, come on, Reuven, take responsibility. Right, so Reuven gave it to his mother. And what happens? His mother put it in a chest. His mother put it away. So I'll say, so what happened? The ignov, the money was stolen from Reuven's mother. So what's the shayla? Amar Rava, hechi naidinu daini lahaidina. So what do we do in this case? Listen to this. Neimulu l'didei zil shlim. So on one hand, we can say, okay, we should go to Reuven, right? Reuven, you have to pay. Did I skip? Who gavra da'afkid? Oh, sorry. Ho gavra da'afkid zuzi gabi chavre. I'm sorry. So I say, so right, I deposit money with Reuven. Sorry. Amar lei havli zuzoi. Right? And what happens? Reuven says, I don't have him. I don't have it. Amrlei, so I'm sorry. Amrlei, I go to Reuven, give me back my money. Amrlei, lo yedan hecha osvinu. Reuven says, I'm so sorry. I can't find it. I don't know where I put your money. So we say, Aslachim yed Rava. Rava said, Amrlei, kol lo yedan pshiusehi zil shlim. Okay. This is a pretty obvious case. saying you don't know where the money is, that's pshia, that's negligence, and therefore halacha lemaisa, Reuven's going to be chayiv. Good. Hogar v'dafkin hogar v'charesh lemin ali imi v'asim v'kart lisa v'egnov amar rava hechi nidainu dayone lahaidina. Okay, so let's say, so now, next case. I gave money to Reuven. Reuven gave it to his mother put it in the chest. Right, then it gets stolen. Rava says, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? If we say to Reuven, okay, Reuven, you're the shomer. Pay up. Amar, Amad Beis. Amar, call a mafkid al das ishto ubanafu mafkid. Rabbi said, we saw this Gemara before. Whenever you give money to a shomer, so Rabbi says, so what's that lacha? The automatic assumption is the shomer is going to be also sharing the responsibility of watching this with who? The members of his household. In this case, Reuven's mother lives with him, or he lives with his mother, whatever the case is. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, as far as Reuven is concerned, his mother is a competent adult. Therefore, Reuven has every right to go ahead and give it to his mother for her to watch it. So therefore, if we try to make Reuven chayiv, Reuven's going to say, I'm not chayiv. So maybe we should say to him, Reuven's mother, okay, you have to pay back silver for the money, because after all, again, the money got stolen from you. Amra lo amra li delav didei nihu dak barinu. Reuven's mother could say, listen, when Reuven gave me this money, I thought it was his money. So therefore, again, that's my son's money. I put it in the chest. Had I known that I was watching deposited money, I would have buried it. But Reuven never told me that this money was deposited with him. To which the Gemara says, so lo amra li delav didei nihu dak barinu. Neimale amai lo amrala. So then we could go back to Reuven. Reuven, why didn't you tell your mother that the money wasn't yours, right? That the money was silver's. Amar kol shekin d'chiyamina le didi ninhu tfei mizdarabuhu. Rabbi says, you don't understand. I actually did that purposely, because I figured if my mother thought it was my money, she was going to take even better care of it than had it been a total stranger's money. So then Rabbi will say, so you see what's happening over here? Who's chayif, right? Who's going to be chayif in this case? Ela amar Rabbi says, here's the halacha. So Reuven swears that he gave over the money to his mother. So we'll say, what that means is, Reuven the Shomer says that he gave over the money to a competent adult who is the member of his household, which is something he's allowed to do. That's what Reuven does. And Reuven's mother swears that she was responsible and kept the money in a chest. The ignorant was stolen. Upater. So we'll say, so bottom line, in this case, I'm not getting my money back. Right, so bottom line, Reuven is going to swear that he was responsible and he's exempt. Mother is going to swear that she was responsible and she's exempt. And therefore, I'm going to say, I bear the loss. Incredible. Ho Petroba Diasmi. I'm going to say, great case. Great case. Ho Petroba Diasmi. There was an apotropis. What was the apotropis? Remember, again, I think we often use the word executor, but the truth is it's more than an executor. Really, what the apotropis is like a guardian, right? He is someone who oversees the affairs of the Yesomim. So there was an apotropis. And what did he do? The Zabalahu Turali Yasmi. He bought an ox for the Yisomim, for the orphans. I will say again, this wasn't like a birthday gift. This was just like an investment. Right? He went ahead and he bought an ox for the estate. What happens? Umasre la Bakra. And he gave it over to the shepherd. Bakra. Rashi says over here. La Bakra mas So he gave it over to the shepherd, right? To the guy in charge of the herd. He gave it over to the shepherd. So we'll say, what happened? Lo havile kavi vishini. So we'll see, here's what's interesting. The cow, the ox, didn't have molars or front teeth, lemecho, and therefore was unable to eat. The ox didn't have teeth, umis, and the ox died. So the Gemara says, Amrei Barachama, hechi naidinu, dayana lahaidina. So Amrei Barachama says, okay. They will say, who's going to be liable in this case? This is so interesting. So the Gemara says, right, so hechi naidinu, dayana lahaidina. Namely, la apotropa, zilshlim. So I will say, maybe we should say, the apotropis, right? Apotropis, right? Right, guardian, you're responsible. So the Gemara says, the apotropis could say, Amr ana lebakra misartia. The apotropis could say, I'm responsible. I gave it to the shepherd. What do you want? I gave it to the shepherd. It's the shepherd's responsibility. Namele labakra zilshlim. So you go over to the shepherd. Shepherd, you're responsible. Amr ana bahadi turi ukmeisa. Listen, shepherd said, listen, you need to understand how we operate over here, right? I don't give every ox individual attention. How are you, Shefila? How are you doing? How's it going with the rest of the herd, right? No. What do? I put him with the herd. I want to say, how do we feed the herd? Okla shadayile. The way it works is, he's with the herd, right? This ox is with the herd. I throw food into the pen. It's enough food for everyone. Okla shaday. Lahavi adina. The lo achal. I had no idea that the deposited ox wasn't eating. How am I supposed to know? I don't go ox to ox seeing if they're eating. I take the food, I throw it into the pen, and hopefully everyone eats. So again, the apotropos is saying, it's not my fault, I gave it over to the shepherd. Shepherd is saying, it's not my fault, I did my job. I fed the herd. I did not know that this particular ox didn't have teeth and therefore wasn't eating. Michti, bakra shomer sacher diyasmihu ibayli liyune. I don't understand what I'm saying. The shepherd is a shomer sacher. That's what a shepherd is. A shepherd is a shomer sacher. He is the shomer sacher of the yisomim. Ultimately, again, of the orphans. So we'll say, isn't it his job to investigate as to whether or not the shar is eating? So the Gemara says, "Ii kapseida hachanami." The truth is, the Gemara says, you're right. If we're talking about a case where there was a loss to the Yisomim, where the Yisomim suffered a loss, then ein hachanami, that's what we would do. Then it really would be the shepherd who would be responsible for that loss. V'acham askina, what's the case over here? Deleka pseida diyasmi. We'll say, in the case in question over here is, there's no loss to the Yisomim. How is there no loss to the Yisomim? The ox is dead. Listen to this. Dashkechuhu lamare detura v'shakol yasmi zuzimine. Because we'll say, what did we do? We tracked down the owner of this ox. And I will say, when you buy an ox without teeth, what is that called? That's called a mekachtos. That is called, I will say, now it's interesting, by the way, I guess it sounds like from here, I would have thought that when you buy an animal, that you're obligated to go ahead and look at the, you know, I don't know, some type of dental exam. Chevra, this might be a new field. I don't know. I guess there's a veterinarian, veterinary medicine. But Lamaisa, but I will say, whatever the Metzias is, either again, maybe this is like a purchase from a different geographic location, so you're relying on the seller. Point over here is, the Yisomim aren't going to suffer loss. It's like this. In Achinami, the shepherd is a Shomer Sachar. So therefore, again, if the Yisomim were going to have a loss, then absolutely the Shomer would be responsible because he is a paid custodian. But what's the case over here? The Yisomim aren't having a loss. Why not? Because we know who the seller is. So the apotropos, the Yisomim, are going back to the seller saying, this is like a lemon, right? So you have to give me back my money. This was a mekachto. So therefore the Yisomim are being made whole. They're getting back the purchase money. Elaman katon. So what says, who's lodging the claim? If the Yisomim are the ones ultimately, again, are getting the money back, who's lodging the claim? Mare de Tura Katoin. So we'll say, who's lodging the claim? So now we'll say, who's lodging the claim? The owner's out the money. Who's out the money? The owner of the ox, right? The seller, the original seller. So the Gemara says, what is he tiny? E bayle odan. What are you talking about? So we'll say, well, how could the owner of the ox have any kind of taina? He should have known that his ox didn't have teeth. My modina le. So the Gemara says, may the yada de mekach taos havi. So we'll say, so ultimately, and what does it mean, ultimately, that we're informing him? We're informing him that it's a mekach tos. To which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Sorry, we're going a little bit fast. Bisaf sira. When we were talking about here, I will say a broker. I will say, so in other words, who sold the ox to the Yisomim? It wasn't the owner of the ox. Instead, who was it? It was a broker. I will say, now what's the chap with the broker? The zaben mehacha or mezaben lehacha. We'll say, a broker doesn't really get to know the animal. Because what is a broker doing? A broker is really buying it from party A and selling it to party B. So in Achinari, I will say, in this particular case, the person who sold it to the Yisomim ultimately is someone who doesn't really know about the actual ox and what the ox is and what the ox is not. Pesafira, tezabin mehacha umezabin lahacha. He buys it from party A and ultimately goes in and sells it to party B. Therefore, hilchach. So we'll say, here we go. Resolution. Hilchach. Mishtabe ihu telo haviyada. So therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, the owner of the animal swears that he did not know that the animal didn't have teeth, right? Lo havayada umeshalim bakra deme basra bezol. So we'll say at the end of the day, the owner is going to say, which was the broker, is going to say, I had no idea. So we'll say, who does pay? Interestingly enough, the shepherd pays. But the shepherd pays because he is a shomer sacher, but the shepherd pays ultimately, again, at a lower value. Excuse me, what is his lower value? The value of meat when it is sold at a discount. That's the amount that he's going to be chayiv ultimately again to pay back to the Yisrael, or to the affected party. That's what we'll stop over here for today. Again, sorry, I went a little bit fast in the last case, but shkoyach.